Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station where we help those with ADHD pay attention to attention, with your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Topper.
Welcome, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, ADHD coach, Jeff Copper. Our topic tonight is, which version of ADHD do you have? Real quickly, tonight is Thanksgiving Eve. That's November the 23rd in the year 2016 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's that time of the year where things are a little bit quiet. Our only announcement tonight is to promote ADD Crowdsource.com, which is a crowdsourcing website to raise small-scale research worldwide. We want to reiterate that we are thrilled with Chad and their support of our show. In fact, tonight's show is being brought to you by Chad, so we've got a quick little tip for you we'll run.
Are you aware that the Department of Education issued new guidelines regarding 504 plans? What does this mean for your child? Learn more about your child's educational rights on the CHAD website, which is now www.helpforadhd.org. That's www.help4adhd.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Oh, let's get into the meat of tonight's show. this show was actually born. We have been on Attention Talk Radio, gosh, 6 or 7 years, and there's some really great stuff back in our archives. And back in the early days, in its more formative years, I did an interview with Dan Pruitt, and Dan had taken a look at the DSM-4 manual at that point in time, and the criteria of determining if you have ADHD. And at that point in time, we did a show on the many, many, many versions of ADHD. And tonight, we want to kind of kick off a clip from that interview that talks about it, kind of like refreshing that show up a little bit. So let's roll the tape here, and we'll have a general discussion after the first clip. So here we go.
I had seen something that Dan had done in a presentation, and there's one slide, and it takes a look at ADD, the different types, inattentive, hyperactive, and combined, and takes a look at some symptoms, and being a kind of a logic-based, math, science-type guys, I like to see numbers, and he actually had some calculations that started to give a sense of the different versions of ADD. So, Dan, I guess let's do this. Why don't you just kind of talk about the slide, talk about the numbers, talk about what started this, and we'll just go from there.
Okay, great, Jeff. This came from the looking at and the realization that there are two different ways of looking at treatment and about understanding ADHD and executive function and obsessive compulsive and the whole range of comorbid stuff. And it is that one way there is it's called splitters, being a splitter, splitting the information apart into its details. And the other one is being a lumper, where you sort of try and lump things together and try to make sense and patterns of it. And when you're looking at stuff as from our level, okay, of ADD coaches or people with ADD, you have to look at this from being a splitter point of view, that you cannot look at being ADHD. ADHD, the term ADHD is a lump, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They came
Absolutely.
From a lumper point of view. They have lumped together a list of characteristics underneath one term. And when they were doing that, the medical doctors, they had a very important point. They're doing very important stuff with this term lumped together. But
yep.
As ADD coaches and people with ADHD, the term ADHD is pretty much useless.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then, and the slide you're talking about, it was one part of my presentation. This is where I mathematically proved it. Okay. And I'll describe the slide. It is that when you say I have ADHD, what do you mean? That's my title of the slide. And the explanation is that when you are diagnosed with inattentive ADD, there are 9 symptoms. There's a list of 9 symptoms everybody knows, and you only need 6 of them.
Yep.
Which means mathematically that there are 84 different combinations of those symptoms that you can have and still qualify to be diagnosed as inattentive ADHD.
Just that type, right?
Of just that type,
yep.
Right. And then for the hyperactive ADHD, there's another 9 characteristics, okay? Another 84 combinations, okay? But then you have the combined ADHD, where there's 12 of the 18, same 9 added together, There's a total of 18,564 different combinations
of just that type.
Of just ADHD that you can have, which means you can have a stadium full of people.
What you're describing is just the symptoms. When you start to kind of consider like the intensity in which those symptoms may or may not manifest and the frequency
Absolutely.
In which they manifest, all of a sudden
Absolutely.
It starts going, and we haven't even talked about other possible coexisting things like Tourette's or dyslexia or whatever.
Absolutely. I mean, this is the math you're using for this is factorials. And when you start adding in all those other coexisting disorders, the number gets so large that it's not representable. You know, it's like 10 to you know, with numbers, you know, after. You know?
It's like increasing at an increasing rate, as they say.
Absolutely. I mean, there is – so the point is that you have to deal with the details.
Absolutely.
Okay, that is the intention of this is that when you're looking at you have ADHD, you know, is that there's nothing to do with ADHD. There's something to do with time management and writing things down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And the way that you write things down and the problems that you have writing things down. Okay? Because depending on which one of these, you know, combinations that you have, you're going to have to approach writing things down for your time management in a different way. Okay?
It's interesting because the way you're describing this kind of goes in with one of the philosophies I have in my practice, and actually just recently wrote a newsletter called the Science of Similar, and the gist of it is we're all different and the ADD is different, and the point for you to start at is not lumping, like you said, not trying to figure out how my ADD is like everybody else, but my philosophy is you realize that you might have ADD, but the place to begin to understand your version is actually start to understand how you're different from actually normative type descriptions or things that lump together, because it's understanding how you're different.
Mm-hmm.
It actually leads to how you work and something that you can begin to manage more effectively.
Exactly. When you are reading, if you have ADHD and you've been told and you suspect it and you're looking at all these websites, many of which have good information, and they're talking about ADHD and what to do with it, you have to have a critical eye when you're looking at it. You have to think, does that mean something to me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, as opposed to assuming they're saying ADHD, you do this, therefore I do it. You can't go there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because that is where you fail. Okay, is just to assume that what they're saying is correct. You have to consider what they're saying if that fits your ADD and if that would be useful for you to do. That is the lesson from this.
Absolutely. One of my vernaculars, you go there, you take a look at it. If it's on the obvious list, pay attention. It might work, but if it doesn't, then you're going to need to pay attention to how you work to find out what's obvious.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because we're all different, and your ADD is different.
So the reason I want to really kind of play that clip was it was a fun show that I did with Dan some time ago. And, again, if you just kind of walk through it, and, of course, this was the DSM-4 manual at the time, and we are at DSM-5. And of course, DSM, the manual kind of lags behind what's kind of going on. But again, if you had inattentive type, there's 9 symptoms that you needed to be diagnosed with ADD. So let's say they're 1 through 9. So you could have the first 6. You could have 2 through 7, 3 through 8, 4 through 9. Those start to give you an idea of the different versions. And so you run through those combinations. And again, I think it's over 18,564 different combinations. And it's kind of fun because when you put it into that perspective, you begin to realize that everybody's ADHD is different. And all too often, everything is homogenized. It is all lumped together. We've done a show before talking about just labels. And in the show, I have this fun little exercise where I say, you know, think of the color red. And most people have this color that kind of pops into their mind that they assume that's the color red. Well, there's an infinite number of shades of red when you really think about it. So it's really pretty overwhelming. But when you think of red, you typically think of just one shade when there's a lot more. And the point really here is with ADHD, every version is kind of completely different. And again, most of the time, those with ADHD have some other condition and severities kind of change. And so the point really here is everybody's version is kind of completely different. And as Dan Pruitt was kind of pointing out, is when you go out into the world, you can't just assume on a lumping basis that everything out there is going to fit you, because of your version of ADHD, and you need to kind of get to understand yours, understand kind of what's going on, and look at stuff out there with kind of a discerning eye. I do think that all too often, by the time people come to me in coaching, it's a one-size-fits-all. And I actually have coached people before where I've actually forbid them from reading anything else out there because they spend too much time trying to want their ADD to be like somebody else, and it actually becomes the barrier that inhibits them from finding resources. I want to go to break and come back. We'll expand upon this a little bit more on this Thanksgiving Eve. I hope everybody's getting ready to eat a lot of turkey tomorrow and celebrate. With that, With that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function challenge make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more or call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE to get your free college success guide.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Managing ADHD is about pausing before you ponder and proceed. This opportunity to practice pausing is being brought to you by digcoaching.com. The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We're here having a little bit of fun about the different versions of ADHD and kind of using the DSM-4 and a little bit of math to kind of really illuminate the fact that when you've seen one person with ADHD, you've seen one person with ADHD. I've got another clip I want to run that I did with Dan, and there's kind of a real fun parable in here that I think is – I use it all the time in coaching, and I want to kind of run it. And we'll kind of talk about Dan, see how it kind of grabs you. So with that, let's get back to the interview.
For those out there that are listening to this, don't be overwhelmed by 9,000 different versions. You can figure those stuff out or at least hone in on it, but use insightful thinking. Listen to others' ideas, but don't take their ideas as you have to do it their way.
And that's a really good point, a really good phrase, because there are many, many people who think their way is the way. No. No.
Oh, yeah. There's a parable that I did I do this last time we talked about the innkeeper?
No, I didn't. No, I didn't hear it.
I like to do this to kind of to put this into a context, and it's a real simple story. Once upon a time, there's an innkeeper who's got an inn called the Silver Star Inn, and the innkeeper was unable to make ends meet. So tried as he could to make the place comfortable and reasonable in price, you know, he just couldn't kind of pull it together. So he consulted a wise old sage. And the sage came in after listening to his tale and says, "Well, hey, the solution here is simple. You got to change the name of your inn. You got to change it to the Five Bells Inn and hang six bells at the entrance." And the innkeeper was like, "That's impossible. That's absurd. Everybody knows my inn. It's been in our family for generations." And the sage, "No, that's what you need to do." So the sage went off, and the innkeeper gave it a try. And as he changed the name and put the bells up, this is what he noticed. Every traveler would pass by the inn and venture in to point out the mistake, each believing that they were the only one that noticed it. Once they were inside, they were impressed by how cordial the place was, choosing to stay and refresh themselves, thereby giving the innkeeper the fortune that he had seeked so long. And the moral of the story is, there are few things the ego delights in more than correcting the mistake of others. And the reason I like that, I love that parable so much, mostly because it is so true that everybody's always trying to fix you or fix us. And the cool part about this parable is it's fixed by looking broken. In other words, if it didn't look broken, it wouldn't work.
Very, very good. Very good.
And rounding out in the conversations as you as an individual with AD has, and you're going out on that quest to knowledge, the important thing is to remember is that don't let everybody try to fix you because they might be fixed and they might break you in the process.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, because everybody has their filter. You know, these are people with the highest of intentions. You know?
They mean well.
Absolutely. But they see you, they lump, but also even if they're splitting, they see you through the filter of their eyes.
Absolutely.
And they don't really necessarily see all of you. They're seeing you as they see themselves and are giving you something that is really best for them, not for you.
So I really hope that you enjoyed listening to that parable. I use it a lot. To kind of help kind of get people to pause a little bit and think about some things. And as Dan said, people have the best of intentions in order to help you. But one of the things I found over the years in working with those with ADD is you certainly need to go get some research and maybe brainstorm on some different ideas. But I've learned over the years that if you're asking somebody for something, ask them for their experience and not their advice. So if you have ADHD and you're struggling, you ask for somebody for their advice, they're going to tell you what to do based off of the filters that they look through, and that their way is the way. And all too often when somebody does that, they take the advice or they hear the advice, and if they apply it and it doesn't work, or if they feel uncomfortable with it, it just brings a lot of negative emotions and a lot of negative experiences, et cetera. But rather, if you reframe that as by asking for other people's experiences, it's an experience now, it's not advice, and you can choose to take it or not take it. And I like this notion of asking people from experiences, because in that situation, now you're actually, it's a brainstorming tool, which we've actually done some shows on that on Attention Talk Radio, saying it's basically the most valuable tool for those with ADHD, because it kind of helps you find obvious things that are not necessarily so obvious. And our theme tonight is if you're trying to move forward, is to back up and acknowledge that your ADD is quite different from everybody else's, and that you shouldn't necessarily ask for advice. I mean, everybody's very well intended, but you need to search and do research and consider asking for people's experience as a way to gain thoughts and ideas, and then check it with your gut. If it doesn't feel like it's going to work, a lot of times, I've got to tell you, it probably isn't. We're going to go to another break real quick, and then when we come back, we'll pick up a little bit more where we left off. So with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You can't go off to college with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential. You can also call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE and get a free college success guide.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk Radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. Radio. Gosh, I got to remember what venue I'm dealing with here. It is Thanksgiving Eve. We're having a great kind of reflection back on shows gone by. An interview was done with Dan Pruitt back, I believe, of like October of 2009 that I referred to a lot at the beginning of the show. We were talking about just having fun with the mathematical number of symptoms or combinations that would get you the diagnosis of ADHD with the DSM-4. And then after the last break, we started talking about like looking for solutions, and you have to have an open mind. You got to understand your ADD and the idea of brainstorming, asking people for experiences and not necessarily advice, because after all, the ego delights in nothing more than pointing out the mistake of others or really trying to fix you, et cetera. Another clip that I really want to play is, we talked about ADHD. There's also this other part of comorbid conditions. And that word comorbid, I think universally, I haven't met anybody in the community or the industry that really likes that word. Really wish somebody would come up with something better, because it's kind of negative. But it is a fact, I believe, depends on who you talk to. Roughly the figures, about 60% of those with ADHD have some other condition, whether it's dyslexia, OCD, bipolar, depression, et cetera. So let's roll the tape from my prior interview, and we'll comment afterwards.
Going back to somebody trying to teach somebody time management that you run into, is that a person who has graphomotor problems, which is the ability to handwrite, okay, it's dysgraphia, is one of the high comorbid occurrences in ADHD. You know, because ADHD is much, somewhere between 50 to 70% of people who have ADHD have something else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when this person come in and he has a graphomotor problem, he wants to write, but he doesn't know how to write, and that this is a historical problem since they were very young. So there is there's an inhibition to the ability to write. So when you're trying to teach him time management, if you don't recognize these other comorbid problems and have that person deal with that dysgraphia or the difficulty with writing and overcome that either by training, you know, or you know, whatever it would take. And using what's called an educational therapist, occupational therapist, do some of this stuff. Without them dealing with that, when you're going to try and coach him and try and teach him how to do time management, you're going to be not understanding how to approach and, you know, why can you not write things down? You know, you sort of look at it, he's not paying attention. He's coming up with all these, how do you do pay attention more when he can pay attention? He just gets there. He doesn't want to write it down because he has problems writing it down. It's difficult, you know, and he doesn't want to stay there. You know, that's an example of where you really have to look at the other comorbid problems that a person has. It's very important.
And take that into consideration.
Absolutely.
We have another question coming from the chat room. The chat room is more active today, and that is kids. I don't know. I'm presuming the parents. But the question is as a parent, how do you go about trying to find out which version of ADD your child has? And it's interesting.
That's a very interesting question.
I have my thoughts on it. You speak to it and see. I mean, advice would you give in that situation to a parent?
Okay, there are several things to do. Is the field of neuropsychology is the group of people who test the functioning of the brain, the neurology, the psychological neurology of the brain, and they are able to give you a full battery of tests, and they can break a lot of things out and find if it's learning disability or if it's obsessiveness or intentional problems.
Mm-hmm.
That's one way, okay, just to go to the testing, to the medical, you know, psychological field. The other way is just to get involved, okay, to get involved with other people like yourself. Chad has a large network of support throughout the entire country. In almost every city, definitely every state, there are Chad support groups. There's a lot of online stuff. There's a lot of online support, direct one-on-one, that you can do so that you talk about it. That if there's any one thing you have to do, is you have to get engaged and talk to other people, one, to help you, because they don't have to be a professional, you know, with years and you know, psychological degrees, but they have to be able to be smart and be able to help you. You know, ADD coaching is one of them. Your sister, your parents, you know, somebody to help you talk about it, your friend who, you know, has some idea, just to help you split it out.
What I'm hearing is go out and get information, open your mind, and watch the behavior of your son and kind of listen to these things and just start to see what makes some sense by trying to take a listen to what you're hearing and take a look at what does and doesn't work for your son. And
especially and as a parent, another thing I want to throw in there is follow your gut. Okay, if it doesn't feel right, if it just doesn't sound right, because most parents' guts know if this the psychologist is telling them something right or if their friend is telling them something right. You have to honor that as a parent.
So what I hope that you draw out of that discussion is everybody's got different type of ADD. There's all kinds of different solutions. You really have to go out there and get immersed and involve yourself. And we often talk about that gut feeling, that intuition feeling. And we've actually done some shows on that, specifically on Attention Talk video. My sense is that you have what your intuition is, your gut is. I like to describe it like this is you have different kinds of attention. You have like narrow attention. You have skating attention. You have passive attention and directed attention. I won't really kind of go on, but I'll focus just for our purposes on narrow and scanning. Narrow attention is like when you're sending a text. You're sitting there and you're kind of typing something out or you're writing a document. Scanning attention is when you're like driving down the road. You've got other cars accelerating, decelerating, signals, different types of things. And often with scanning attention, you're kind of taking it all in at one time. You can't really use scanning attention and narrow attention at the same time, which is why texting and driving is such a bad idea, is because you can't do both. You're toggling back and forth. And as I've described before, is my sense is intuition or your gut is you're picking up on patterns using your scanning attention. And the problem with it is your gut feels that there's something there, but you can't point it out until your narrow attention identifies it. So real simply, if you see somebody go, something's different about that person, you might struggle for a period of time and go, oh yeah, they shaved their mustache or they've lost 20 pounds. Again, you're picking up on something. Your gut's telling you there's something there, but you can't identify it until your narrow attention really kind of picks it out. And a lot of times I think that people pick up on behavior and patterns and stuff like that. They're not always right because they might be misinterpreted based off of context. But really kind of going back to here is if your gut or your insight is telling you something's not here, I think what Dan was saying and what I echo is you need to listen to that gut and insight. It's not always right, but it's not always wrong either. So I think that's really kind of key in the process. So in the bigger picture today, what I really kind of hope that we would kind of draw out is just in a fun way of opening your mind that there's many, 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 many thousands, tens of thousands of different versions of ADHD. Don't just take the one size fits all to fit you. And ideas, you got to get involved. You got to go experiment and you got to brainstorm to find solutions that work for you. We have a bunch of videos on Attention Talk Video and some shows on Attention Talk Radio where we talk about obvious solutions that are not so obvious and we give vivid examples of what some of that stuff looks like. And the only way you get there is really to get out, get involved, and do some brainstorming. So with that, we hope you've enjoyed this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm the host, Jeff Copper. You can learn more about me by going to digcoaching.com. With that, we'll wrap it up. Catch us next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.